God, I'm glad I'm still blessed. Somebody said, the world's getting bad. Yeah, but Jesus is still good. Amen. Still blessed. Hallelujah. My blessings does not depend on the world and the status of the world. My blessings depend upon my relationship to Christ. Now, I've got an eternal relationship that can never be severed. But I will say this, that relationship sometimes can get a little sour if I let it get that way. And yours can too. We all in here have a relationship with one another. We're all blood bought, we're saved, we're in the same family. And we ought to try to groom that relationship, make fellowship work. Because that relationship can never be broken. But I'll tell you one thing, it can sure get fractured and soured, badly bent and warped. We get bent out of joint with one another. Get upset about little things that don't amount to a hill of beans. That's right, little things that blow make mountains out of molehills. I learned a long time ago, if you keep stirring in the wrong stuff, the odor will continue to rise. Some things are best left alone. You'll catch up by slow freight after a while. Message sermonette number one. Well, I wasn't jotting you. There's my outline. That's it. And I don't know how this will run, but we're going to take it and try to run the best we can run with it tonight. I want to ask you to turn to one of my favorite chapters in all the Word of God. It's got a verse in it that I use consistently. When I'm writing letters or signing someone's Bible, I'm not preaching out of that verse, but I always use that verse. Psalm 84. Psalm 84. And for the sake of reading it, such a wonderful chapter in the Bible, I think I'll just read all 12 verses of it, if you don't mind, and then bring the thought the Lord has laid on my heart tonight. Let's stand together as we read, please. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee, Selah.
Amen.
Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them who, passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength, even or every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. We might ought to read that again, basically the last part. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee.
Yes.
Let's pause to pray. Our Heavenly Father,
yes,
I'm thankful, Lord, to be back in the Lord's house tonight. We had a great time preaching this morning, Lord. I magnify your name for your divine presence and help. But, Lord, the morning is past and the night is upon us, and another service, another time, another message, probably another need in the heart of someone that's here tonight. I pray, Father, that you'll make me a blessing. I pray, Lord, that you'll fill me tonight with the Spirit of God and anoint me with power. I pray you'd work in hearts tonight to work out, Lord, your salvation in each soul that is under the sound of my voice. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us tonight to walk in thy ways, be obedient to thy word, fellowship, Lord, with a fervent heart. I pray you'd help us to witness and magnify the name of Christ to a lost and dying world. Help me now as I pray. Bless every heart that's here tonight, every home. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you. And you may be seated. Now I want to call our attention tonight to verse number 6 out of this chapter. And just take a thought that is mentioned there and try to develop and preach on it. The Bible said, who passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. Who passes through the valley of Baca. I want to preach for a little while tonight on this thought. If God will help me, this valley is yours. This valley is yours. I want to try to preach on the valley tonight. If God would help me, and I don't know if I'm going to preach on the valleys that you think I ought to or not, doesn't matter to me. I know how God urged these thoughts upon my heart as I sat there this morning and a little while this afternoon and penned these down, and by the grace of God, that's what I'm going to try to preach on. And if you've been living and serving, living for God and serving Him any length of time, I'm sure that there has been a valley of some degree in your life. Yep. And let me say right there that valleys are different in their degrees. It's just like the valleys upon this earth. There are some that are wider than others. There are some that are deeper than others. There are some that are longer than others. I thought I'd seen some valleys in Kentucky and Tennessee, but I hadn't seen any valley until I stood on the brim of the Grand Canyon and looked into that canyon. And I really believe that there's probably times when some Baptists, maybe some of us even here, find ourselves in the valley, and it seems like it's so large that it's developed into something like the Grand Canyon. Doesn't seem like there is any end to it in length, and there's no way we can reach the outer banks in its breadth, and it's so deep that it's an impossibility to climb out of it. Now, I want to say this to you tonight, and I want you to hear me well. I learned a long time ago that it's not the width of the valley that really gets us down most of the time. It's not really the depth. I mean, we can be plunged immediately to the depth of our soul in some great valley. But most of the time, those valleys that are deep last only a short period of time. But I want to say it is that valley that is long. That valley that we're in for a long period of time. It is much like the life of Job. When Job first plummeted off into that valley in Job chapter number 1, he was able to handle the situation pretty well. And I mean in chapter 1, he went to the depths. He lost his family. He lost his flocks and he lost his finances. He lost everything that he had but his wife and his own personal home and belongings. But he lost everything else. And I'll tell you, he had in his soul to plummet to the very depths in that valley. But he handled it quite well. He told his wife, "You talk like a foolish woman. I've got my mind made up." Now I'm going to tell you, when you get in that valley that some of you are in tonight, you better make up your mind that by the grace of God, you're going on with God. Oh yeah, you're going on with God. But I've read on through the book of Job, and I found that that valley, the longer it was drawn out, that the weaker Job seemed to get. And the more carnal sometimes in his ways, and the more arrogant he seemed to get toward even those that had come to try to comfort him, although they were miserable comforters, I'm sure they were probably doing the very best that they could. But I'd say without a doubt those comforters made a mess out of trying to comfort Job. Ladies and gentlemen, in that valley there is a God of all comfort that comforteth us in all of our tribulations. And I'll tell you, the need in the valley is the presence of God there with you. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, and thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thank God for His presence when we walk through that valley. Amen. I've got a feeling some of you in here tonight's in a long valley. Our church is in a long valley. I really think what prompted me to preach tonight is the own personal valley that I've found myself in. I think I'm somewhat like Paul tonight. Now I'll get to the message in a minute. But I think I'm somewhat like Paul tonight. That besides my own trouble, the cares of all the churches, or the care of this church has come upon me. And I've not tried to hide my problems. I have got a physical problem that, ladies and gentlemen, is plaguing my mind and my thoughts. So I know where some of you are. Miss Hall told me last night, she said, you're going to let this thing worry you to death. I said, well, one way or the other, I guess I got to go. But really, when you're told what I was told, ladies and gentlemen, and there's no answer to what caused the problem, and if there's no answer to the problem, there's probably no cure to be found for the problem, it is bound to put thoughts in your mind that are not readily to go away overnight. It's not going away by taking an aspirin. I'm telling you, the problems that you're having and the valley that you're in is not going away overnight. It will not go away overnight. And I begin to think of the valley that I'm in myself with my own person. And then it seems like the struggles that some of you are in. But I've got to be honest, I think some of you are in valleys that are homegrown. You have grown them yourself. You have, amen, you have brought them on yourself. And some of you may end up being in a valley that there is absolutely no reason in this world for you to be there, but you have just suddenly found yourself there because of the decisions that you made in your life. But it's kind of like Psalm 42 where David said, deep calleth unto deep. David said, Charles Spurgeon said that verse is like one metaphor of nature calling out to another. And the metaphor, the nature from above calling out to nature below. By the way, that's what happened when that tornado went through here. The cold air from above called out to the hot air below and said, let's get together and cause a storm. And that's exactly what it did, ladies and gentlemen. It was deep calling unto deep. And David is saying there, when there's trouble inward and troubles outward, it's like deep calling unto deep. We got troubles in our own heart and in our own life, and there's troubles from without that we're trying to cope with. And I'm telling you, it makes double trouble, ladies and gentlemen, and it makes a long, difficult valley for a man to be in. And I'm praying that God will raise somebody up in this church that can stand in the gap and make up the hedge and be a blessing to those of us that are walking through discouraging moments and times of our life. I make no bones about it, I'm there. Miss Hall asked me tonight, said, you're going to go down fighting or like a wimp? Yes. Praise God, if I go down, it'll be a fighting. Amen. Amen.
Yes.
Praise God, I'm not going to lay down and play dead, no sir. I'm not about to give rat face 1 inch in my life I can keep from it.
Yes.
Come on in the house now.
Yes.
Now this, the Bible said that you pass through the valley of Becca. And that word Becca means weeping. And I'm telling you, there's going to be some times in your life, ladies and gentlemen, when that valley is going to break your heart. But to the point where there is nothing you can do but sit down, place your face in your hands, and weep before Almighty God. And there'll be nothing that you can put in words in prayer to God. Oh, but I'm so glad that when we're without words in prayer, that the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be understood, ladies and gentlemen. Thank God I've got an earthly mediator that knows the will of God and knows the heart of man. And when we're unable to pray because of the depths and the length and the trials of the valley and because of the sorrow of heart that we're in, that there is a God that lives on the inside, ladies and gentlemen, that can help our infirmities. Are you listening? God can help you tonight. I'm looking for God to help me. But they walk, he said, passing. Thank God that's that is in a present tense, but it's a gerund. I'm going to tell you, that's a long valley.
Right.
It's a gerund that means a continuous thing.
Yep.
So he's saying, you are continuously in the valley. Anybody been in it like that in here?
Yep.
Anybody tonight got a broken spirit? Anybody tonight got a sorrowful heart? Anybody tonight got a mood disorder that has got you down? And if you think a valley won't give you a mood disorder, friend, you're nuts.
Yes.
Been there, done that, and got a dozen t-shirts with it. Hallelujah. Come on in the house now. But I'm telling you, who said passing through the valley? Son, it's going to take a while to get through this thing, God said.
Yes.
But notice what he said. Who passing through the valley of Becca maketh it a well.
Yes.
That little two-letter word, it, refers back to the valley where he said, passing through that valley, I will make that valley a well, ladies and gentlemen. Hallelujah to God. There's not only water in the wilderness, there's water in the valley, thank God. I'm talking about a King James 16:11 Bible God's given you. Amen and amen. You know, in the book of Genesis, and I believe chapter 26, it talks about Isaac, the well digger. And Isaac digged a well in Gerar, I think in verse number 17. But in verse number 19, it said that he digged a well in the valley. Now I'm going to tell you, Becca, God made it a well.
Yes.
And God filled its pools with water. But there in the valley of Gerar, ladies and gentlemen, he said he had to dig that well. I'm telling you, if you want water in your valley, somebody's going to have to rise and shine from your blessed assurance and get your spiritual diggers on and dig you a well while you're in that valley.
Yes. Right.
Praise God, I plan on digging me one, friend. Yes. Amen, I'm thirsty.
Yes.
Now, I ain't about to go out of this world without water, nobody. I'm talking about the water of the Word of God. Amen. I want it written on the tables of my heart and branded on my brain Hallelujah. I want to know it, understand it, love it, and live it.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen and amen. And I'm telling you, in that valley, you may have to dig that well yourself.
Amen.
God will help you dig it.
Amen.
Won't you learn to dig?
Yes.
I think we've forgotten why we come to church. You know what I almost preached on tonight? I almost preached on why do you come to church?
Amen.
And it was really brought home this morning.
Yes.
I was sitting right in here, maybe where Blake is or on the seat next to him. I'm not sure which. But Brother Smith was up here teaching in Leviticus on the sacrifices. And he was talking about how that sacrifice made atonement or atonement for us, brought us together in reconciliation with God. And I sat there a minute, all once I heard those little kids in that classroom singing. And I heard something, a little noise from the Sunday school class in the back. And said, I probably grieved God. Well, I tell you, something swelled up on the inside of me, and God said, you're doing right.
Yeah.
You're doing the right thing in the house of God.
Yeah.
You're honoring His word. Why do we come to church? I'd hope we come to church to learn the word of God. And some of you never open a Bible. How long in heaven's name when you learn the Word of God, if you don't open the Bible, that's the well. And if you don't get the lid off the well in the valley, you will never have a drink.
Amen.
Amen. Thought I'd throw that in.
Amen.
And I'm telling you, I rejoiced in spirit this morning.
Amen.
And I heard them little youngins singing, Brother Smith up here teaching, Miss Hall in the back teaching. Brother Billy, I knew he was on back there teaching. You know what Brother Benedict told me this morning? He said, preacher, you ain't going to believe what I taught Sunday school on to the young people. Names in the Bible and their definitions.
Yeah.
Buddy, God had somebody on target today.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I tell you, come to church to learn what we was doing sitting out here. And we come to church to praise God exactly what them kids was doing in there singing. And we come to church to fellowship just exactly what they was doing in that back room.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's right. Come on in the house. Yeah. Praise God, it's preaching time tonight.
Yeah.
It ain't pew jumping time, it's lecture time.
Yeah,
amen. Might write this one down as lectures to my students.
Amen.
Yeah, amen. Hallelujah. Somebody said, well, I don't need to know. I'm not in the valley. Sit tight. Hang on. If you're saved, it's on the way.
Amen.
They all, God's people, all God's people, sometime or another, are going through that valley.
Yes.
It's there to teach you. It's there to inform you of Him.
Yes.
And to give you an understanding of His love. And mercy and grace and power. And when it brings you out of that valley, it'll do the same work it did on Israel when they crossed that Red Sea and turned around and said, praise the God Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Because He has delivered again. The reason some of you ain't got a you, the reason you never praise God, you ain't got anything to praise Him for. Hallelujah. That song said, I just want to praise Him.
Yeah.
Morning, noon, and night.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He ever delivered you?
Yes, sir.
He brought me up also out of a horrible pit.
Yeah.
Out of the miry clay. Blessed be His name, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. God delivered me and He continues to deliver me. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Who delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver.
Hallelujah.
In whom we trust, He shall yet deliver us.
Amen.
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 Now, learn through that valley. God will teach you some things. He wants you to learn some things.
Amen.
He wants you to learn how to praise Him and how to worship.
Yeah.
I want you to learn how to trust Him.
Yeah.
Sometimes the valley gets long and the valley gets dark. Sometimes you're in that valley so long the sun sets before you get out of it. I'm going to tell you, when the sun sets and you're already in a valley, I'm telling you it is a critical place to be. And I always found when I got in there, there was somebody around that fulfilled Psalm 43:3, oh, send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me, hallelujah, to God. I'm telling you, in that valley when she's dark and the sun has set, and the light's not a shining, thank God. There is a light, ladies and gentlemen, that sends out a gleam across the waves.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Now I want to mention four valleys, and we're out of here. I want to say, first of all, there is that valley of decision. Now, I'm going to tell you that is a dangerous valley to be in.
Yes, sir.
I'm amazed at how many times Brother Matthew Morgan mentioned decision making when he preached here, those three times he preached, two times he preached. How important it was for you young folk to make right decisions while you're young. I'm telling you, it will shake your life for the rest of your life. And how important it is for moms and dads to make right decisions. Every decision you will make affects somebody besides yourself. Every decision you make will affect every family member you have. I read in the Bible about two men. The Word of God said that their wealth became great. And they both had flocks and herds. And their herdmen began to argue with one another. One of those men that was spiritual said, let us not argue. Said, we're brethren. The whole land is before us. If you go to the right hand, I'll go to the left hand. You go to the left, I'll go right. Take your choice. It's yours. Make a decision. Lot, ladies and gentlemen, had an opportunity to make a decision. Before I get there, I want to say it. His decision led him to Sodom, but Abraham's decision kept him in Mamre in the land of Canaan. Hallelujah to God. I'm going to tell you, your decision leads you somewhere you don't want to go. Is anybody listening tonight? I hope so. Because if you're saved, you're going to need what I'm saying. And if you're lost, it ain't going to matter much to you. But here's what Lot said. Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan. I'm in verse 13 of Genesis chapter 13, verse 10. He beheld all the plain of Jordan. And it was well watered everywhere, where before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. I want everybody to look right up here at me. Does that Bible not say that Sodom and Gomorrah was well watered like the land, like Eden was, like the garden was? I'm telling you that everything that glistens is not gold. There was a place that looked as fruitful and as blessed and as holy as what God, the Garden of Eden was, but I'm telling you, it was filled up with ungodliness and sin, and it deceived Lot and led him astray.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, the decision he made, ladies and gentlemen, cost him too.
Amen.
Are you listening?
Amen.
The Bible goes on to say, and Lot chose. There's the decision.
Yes, sir.
Lot chose him. Lot chose him. All the plain of Jordan. And Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves, the one from another. Abraham dwelt in the land of Canaan. Woo! Hallelujah! And Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But, that little three-letter word, but, the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, how you choose and make those decisions in your life will affect you for a long time to come. We'd be a fool, ladies and gentlemen, to sit here tonight and say that Lot's own choice and Lot's own decision, we'd be a fool to say it led to blessing. It led to destruction. Come on now. I'm talking about that valley of decision. Well, preacher, here I am at the crossroads. And I feel led to depart Island Ford and go somewhere else. You better pray about it.
Amen.
Oh, you're rough, Brother Hall. You're just a rough preacher. Absolutely am. Like a cob. Don't make any beats about it. It may be rough to live by, but it'll be good to die by.
Amen
to God.
Amen.
Well, I want somewhere where there's more activities for the children. Better watch that decision.
Amen.
Well, I want to get into a bigger church where they've got more programs we can get involved in. Better watch that decision.
Amen.
He didn't choose by the foolishness of programs, but the foolishness of preaching, ladies and gentlemen. I'm on cue there. Don't argue with the Bible. Don't make a fool out of yourself. Amen. I wouldn't be looking for another place. I'd just get my heart ragged while I'm in that valley, make the right decision in that valley, and hang in right where I am in that valley. Can I say this? The grass always looks greener on the other side. Always. Always. I've told Miss Hall, I've went home, and I've said, my God, if it gets any drier over there, we'll all choke. It's like cracker juice. I'm talking about as dry as cracker juice.
Yeah.
Then I go off and preach somewhere or go to another church and sit in on a meeting. And I'm telling you the thought, I say, unto God, I didn't think it could get any drier, but I'm telling you right now, it got drier.
Yeah.
And before you go, you're thinking, praise God, maybe just be good to go someplace else. Just get away from all your problems. I've got news for you. You've got the same problems and the same devil wherever you go.
Amen.
And if you run, you are done.
Amen.
If you can't handle it, you're done. I tell you that.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Better bloom where you're planted.
Yeah.
Lot gave up Canaan. Lot gave up Canaan, a land of milk and honey. God, Lot gave up God's possession to them to go down to a Sodomite city.
Amen.
Because it was well watered and it looked good.
Right.
Looked like the Garden of Eden. Looked like heaven. Praise God. I'm telling you, this church we're praying about going to is like heaven. They got a singing program second to none. They got a school, praise God, that educates kids wonderfully. They got all kind of programs, but I wonder, they really got God.
Amen.
I'm going to tell.
Amen.
Now listen to what I'm telling you.
Amen.
That decision he made brought a separation right in his own family.
Amen.
Have you ever considered that Abraham probably raised that boy? Abraham nurtured that boy and took care of that boy. And even after he went to Sodom, Abraham rescued him when other kings went in and took Sodom over.
Amen.
And led him off captive. Abraham went after him and brought him back. And yet he went right back into the same hell hole he come out of. I've never figured out why Abraham got him out and he went right back to the same hell hole. I want you to listen to what I'm telling you. If God has brought you out of somewhere, buddy, out of some liberal stinking mess, you better think a long time before you ever go back to your liberal stinking mess. Now, I don't know what might be running through some of his mind. There ain't nobody said nothing to me about nothing or nobody. I'm preaching what God told me to preach this morning, sitting at my desk.
Amen.
Come on me while I was trying to read my notes for preaching this morning, and the Holy Ghost come upon me.
Yeah.
Them right pastures always looks greener on the other side. Things always look better somewhere else. But I've been in this business long enough to know that the devil is going to be right there where you go. And you're not going to escape your flesh. You'll carry your rotten, stinking flesh everywhere you go. And where there's flesh, there's problems. And if we're Christians, we ought to be able to work out our problems. I've preached that for years. If two people are really saved, that includes the preacher. If two people are really saved, they ought to be able to work out their difference.
Amen.
Come on in the house. But that decision sent him to Sodom, and Abraham stayed in Mamre, Canaan. Now, I don't hear nothing about Lot building no altar, but it said in when Abraham got to Hebron, Abraham built an altar. Better watch your decision. It'll lead you away from God. It'll lead you away from prayer. It'll lead you away from the Bible. It'll lead you away from God if you ain't careful.
Amen.
Now, I'm just telling you. God's been on our young people. And they're growing. I told my wife if we had about two or three more families, had two or three more young kids to throw up there, they would be second to none if they'd practice and pray and stay with it.
Amen.
Now, we may not have the programs, but why would you want to take your child out of a place? And boy, somebody must be planning it. I'm here to tell you, God is on me hot on this. Amen! Why would you want to take your family from a place where God is visiting and touching them and helping them? Well, I said, well, they ain't helping my kids. Maybe your kids is rebellious. They got a little ring in the sing, every one of them. I don't think they're old enough to really know what rebellion really is. That is to rebel against the Word of God. Now, they can rebel against mom and daddy and all that. But I don't think they've got a full understanding of sin. I'll tell you why. Because I'll guarantee you there's some naughty thoughts and vile thinking goes on sometimes from these youngins, and I'm some mischievous thoughts that run through their mind. But it don't seem like God's holding them accountable for that yet, because He still touches and blesses their singing.
Amen.
Come on in the house.
Right. Yeah.
You better be careful of decision. It brought a separation in the family. Lot lost his. Brought a separation in the family. It brought a sinful environment. I wouldn't want to trade my half acre in Kentucky for all the city slicking life you can raise up. Woe unto them that join house to house, friend. You better be careful. He got down to a city, got out of the country and went to the city. And sin awaited him there. And he got in a sinful environment.
Right.
And it infected his family and infected his children and infected his daughters and son-in-laws.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even infected Lot. It vexed, are you listening to me? God said that it vexed His righteous soul, and yet there was not enough grace when He knew He was wrong and knew He was in sin to get out of the place.
Amen.
Now, can you get a hold of that? If it vexed His righteous soul, He knew He was vexed. And if He was vexed and knew it, He had enough sense to get out, but He didn't.
That's right. Amen.
And He lost it all. Anybody in here listening to me? I'm telling you, God's back again tonight. Please and thank you. Hallelujah. Brought separation from His family. Brought a sinful environment. And it brought a sorrowful end. Unable to look back, but the city. All of His goods, all of His belongings, everything that He had, including His own son-in-law, went up in smoke when God, ladies and gentlemen, brought judgment upon that sin. Hallelujah. God's putting a hammer down. That valley of decision. Better make the right one. Many times you only get one choice. I won't say secondly. And I've preached this so much I'm about to feel like it's a broken record. But there's that valley of discouragement. 1 Kings chapter number 19, verse 1. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. Can you get a hold of that? Come on now, stay with me. Here is a man that was on the mountaintop one chapter earlier. And now all of a sudden he's running toward the wilderness. Himself. I mean, that's where he wants to go, is that valley. My God, I can't understand why anybody would enjoy being in the wilderness. Why anybody would want to run toward the wilderness and go into the wilderness. God brought his people out of the wilderness. He wants you in Canaan land. Praise God, he wants you over there shouting. Somebody said, I don't believe in it. Get right with God and you will. He wants you over there praising God. He wants you over there full of joy. Somebody said, oh, there's battles over there. Yeah, but he said, I'll fight all your battles for you. Hallelujah. Halamashanda got a Yamahawana Kawasaki. Tell me next time it will tell you. Can you imagine a man of God like Elijah becoming so discouraged from one chapter to the next just because some woman run her mouth? He ought to went to Jezebel and put his fist to the elbow down her throat. Ain't that right, Brother Jerome? He should have went and witnessed to her.
That's right.
Now you can say amen there, Brother Jerome. But he ran from her. Got down there under a juniper tree. And tried to find comfort from a juniper tree. Now I know what Brother Walton preached, and he might be right in his further study. But I'm going to tell you what I got out of that juniper tree. My Strong tells me that a juniper tree is the Spanish broom tree. And it's that way because of its little stems and looks like a broom on the end. In other words, he looked for comfort trying to sit under a broom to find shade. It's about like a Baptist. Run, try to find shade from the sun, sit under a broom. Come on now. Come on, help Brother Hall. Got any discouraged ones in here tonight trying to find relief under a broom? I hope not. But I'm telling you that God's even gracious in the wilderness. God is even gracious when you're so discouraged you will run to the wilderness to try to escape your problem. He was trying to get away from a problem that God would have helped him conquer. In fact, God gave him the cure later on in this chapter. Praise God, it's almost 8 o'clock. I've got to hurry. I've already preached. How long have I preached? An hour already? Huh? Praise the Lord. Said himself, went a day's journey into the wilderness, came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die. And he said, it is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than it, my father's. And as he lay and slept under the juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again a second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is great for thee. Now I put down four little old things here. Praise God, he's in the valley of discouragement, but I found there's food in that valley. God's angel brought food in that valley. Can you get a hold of that? Praise the Lamb of God. Amen. Isn't God gracious to keep on stirring the soul and feeding the soul of man, even when he's so discouraged that he's running from his problem and won't face his problem? God is so wonderful and blessed that he'll go down into the wilderness where you're at and bring food down there to you. Not only bring it, he'll cook it. Not only cook it, he'll serve it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now I want to say this. There's not only food in the valley of discouragement, there's fellowship. Angel said, hey, Elijah.
Yes, sir.
Rise. Now get a hold of this. You can believe what you want to believe, but in the Old Testament, that angel, I've got a funny feeling, that was Jesus. Wonderful Jesus, look here. There he is, so discouraged, and Jesus brings him food just like he did in John 21. Children, have you any meat? Woo! Hallelujah! Catch your dead on the right side. And there he is having food that Jesus prepared and brought him. But that ain't all of it. There he is in the valley, and you'd think Jesus would be mad and upset, wrinkle up his nose. But Jesus come to the valley. There's not only food in the valley of discouragement, there's fellowship.
Yeah.
You can have fellowship.
Yeah.
There's no reason for us to continue the way we are, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. Telling you there's food down there in discouragement. And there's fellowship with him. He personally came to where Elijah was.
Yes,
old Elijah was so discouraged. Kind of like when his lost brother Doug. He couldn't get to Jesus, so Jesus came to him.
Right, amen.
I love that song. He came to me.
Amen.
He came to me.
Amen.
When I could not come. I wish I could sing. To where you are, he came to me.
Amen.
Woo! I just said, I'm so low I can't tie my shoe. Jesus said, I'll get down under the string, bake you a cake, and talk a while.
Yeah.
Woo!
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Anybody in here discouraged tonight?
Free.
There's a cake on the coals.
Yeah.
And a cruise of water at your head. I don't know if I leave me. Just got two more little points on that, and we're going to run them quick and get out of here now. There's food in the valley of discouragement. There's fellowship in the valley of discouragement. There's friendship. That angel touched him and said, get up, Elijah. You got a long way to go, boy. Hey, some of you in here may have a longer way to go in this thing than what you think. Come on. Don't turn me off. Don't get nervous. Don't get restless. I know how long I preach, but I ain't done yet. But I'm telling you, some of you in here may have a little ways to go in this thing. He said, you got a long journey, Elijah. You got to have a little food and a little water to get there. And I'm telling you, if you make it through the journey, you're going to have to dig a well and get you a little water. And you're going to have a little food to make it.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Amen. Praise God. I'm trying to preach tonight, Blake. Can you help me? Can you say amen? A little louder than that, boys. Come on, boys. Help me out, Josh. A little louder, will you?
Amen.
You are big mouth. A little louder.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Where you at, Boo Bear? Say amen for Grandpa.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Say amen, Anna.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Say amen, Daniel.
Yeah.
He rocked back. Man, my shouters is asleep on me. No, one's asleep and the other one's in the wear out room. I want you to get a hold of this now. There is not only food and fellowship and friendship in that valley, but if you're not careful, there's folly. Elijah said, requested for himself that he might die. I'm not better than what my fathers are. Go on, take me out. Praise God. Things ain't going to get no better. I'm at the end of the tunnel and ain't seen no light. I'm discouraged. I'm down and out. Praise God. God's done left me. And he just visited you, Elijah, and brought you food and brought you water and brought you fellowship.
Yeah.
And yet Elijah has got a little folly in his life. Just take my life. And then there's something God assigned him. A prophet to take his place.
Amen.
And I believe right there, for all practical purposes, except 2 Kings chapter 1, ended the ministry of Elijah. Now I'm telling you, you better be careful.
when you get in that folly.
Well, I just don't care. I just don't care anymore. Things are so bad, I just don't care anymore. They can't get worse.
I had a man several years ago call me on my telephone. He said, "Preacher," he said, "I thought things couldn't get worse in my life, but said, guess what? They're worse."
Amen.
Hallelujah. Yeah. Then I want to mention the valley of disgrace. I'm talking about Joshua. Was it chapter number 6? I'm not going to turn there. When they got to the valley of Achor, Nacon committed the accursed thing and took the Babylonian garment and the wedge of gold and the 50 shekels of silver and hid it in his tent.
Yeah.
What disgrace on him and his own family. Hey, look here now. He got down in that valley of disgrace, and I'm telling you, it cost him something, folks.
Yeah.
They took Achan, his entire family, everything that he possessed, and stoned everybody and everything, and then burned it. Disgraceful. Died in disgrace. For a stinking wedge of gold and a set of Tommy Hilfiger clothes.
Amen.
Come on in the house. And some of you in here, if you're not careful, you'll die that way.
Yeah.
Work more important than God. Work more important than church. Money more important than God is. And you're trying to bury a Tommy Hilfiger jacket in your tent. Boy, it got quiet. There is nothing any more important than God. He can take your money and stretch it beyond your belief. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you parents that's got the idea that work's more important than God, your kids are going to pick up on it and they're going to follow right down the footsteps.
Amen.
And they ain't one stinking thing you can say to them. You set the example.
Amen.
I won't charge you nothing for that.
Amen.
I'm just telling you a fact. There's folks that because they've got to get some silver in their hand, that they're going to die disgraceful. I didn't say they'd die and go to hell. They're going to die disgraced.
Amen.
It cost him something. Not only it was costly, but it was chaotic. Israel went up against Ai and got whooped after just defeating Jericho. Little bitty place like Ai, little battle. And I'm going to tell you something, gentlemen. You can't fight your battles without Jesus.
Amen.
They went up to Ai, and it was a chaotic mess. The elders of Israel and Joshua fell on their face to the ground and began to pray to the Lord. The Lord said, "Get up! Israel sinned! They're sinning in the camp!" Called chaos.
Amen.
Even Joshua, their leader, that had saw the captain of the Lord's host and been on the mountain with Moses, had saw the glory of God, said it'd been better if we'd have stayed on the other side. Come on now, I'm talking about the leader got discouraged.
Amen.
Then, I'm closing right here. There's not only the valley of decision, the valley of discouragement, valley of disgrace. There's a valley of death. Yea, though I walk through the valley of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I don't know how long that valley of death might be, but David knew what it was to be in the valley of death, to be in the very jaws of death. Are you listening? Not many people today know what it means to be brought out of the jaws of death from that sin that brings death had a hold of you.
Yeah.
We were all under the jaws of death ready to climb down and drag our soul to hell.
Yeah.
But in that valley of death, Jesus passed by.
Yeah.
Woo! Hallelujah to God, Jesus. Jesus passed by our way.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you, if you want to liken this to the valley of death, when you die, you can. Chances are that some of us in here will die suddenly. Some of us in here may take on some kind of disease and live for years with it and live a good, fairly decent, healthy life. And then die suddenly. Some of us in here may have some kind of disease that we're bedridden. I told somebody preaching the other night, I marveled at old Paul Levine that made radio tapes from a bed of death day before he died. He's talking about walking through the valley. Now get a hold of this. Yea, though I walk through the valley of death, I will fear no evil. Peace. There will be peace in the valley for me someday. Oh, yeah. Fear no evil. Won't you fear no evil? Why you got peace? Because I got His presence. Thou art with me. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Like old D.L. Moody when he got ready to die, laying in his bed, and he looked up at his wife and he said, sweetheart, is this death? She said, yes, D.L., this is death. He says, not too bad. I'm talking about a valley, ladies and gentlemen, of death. Now, if the trumpet don't sound, everybody in here will walk through that valley. There's none exempt. You may never go through the valley of discouragement, the valley of decision, or the valley of disgrace, but you will! You will go through the valley of death. How are you going to handle it? How are you going to handle it? With grace? With fear? I'm telling you, death's coming and hell's right behind it. Some of you need to make a decision tonight. You're in the valley of decision. You need to make a choice for Christ on an altar. Hell's coming after you. Hell is coming after you, young people. And it'll swallow you up someday if you don't get right with God. I love you, but I'm telling you, it will swallow you up if you don't get right with God. That goes for adults too. And I'll tell you, while you can make that right decision, why not make it? Why not trust Him? You can trust Him now and trust Him through your life. You can trust Him when it comes time
Amen.
To die. Let's stand, please.